Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series. During the Brazilian dictatorship from 1964 to 1988, more than 475 people disappeared and thousands were detained and tortured, according to international human rights groups, including Human Rights Watch. It's been almost 30 years since the dictatorship ended, but it's only recently that the first four criminal cases for crimes committed during the dictatorship are moving forward in the Brazilian courts. Federal prosecutor Marlon Weichert is one of the people who have made hopes for accountability rise in Brazil. We have him as our guest. Welcome to ICTJ podcast, Mr. Weichert.
Thank you very much.
Brazil is one of the countries that has an amnesty law. Amnesty law was passed as part of the transition from dictatorship to democracy, and it plays a crucial role in the efforts to achieve criminal accountability for these crimes. We recently had two decisions that have, in a way, polarized the positions in this effort. One decision by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights stating that amnesty law should not prevent authorities from investigating and prosecuting human rights violations committed during the military rule, while on the other hand, the Supreme Court of Brazil determined that Brazil's amnesty law is valid since it was a political deal agreed on in a very crucial moment of the country's history. Where are the efforts to achieve accountability between these two decisions, and how are they affecting your ability to prosecute these crimes?
Very well. That's a very important question, because this decision of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights is the first time that Brazil received a decision from an international court that provokes an internal discussion about the compatibility of the international human rights and the judiciary branch in Brazil. Brazil had a few cases before the Inter-American Court of Human Rights before, but all of them were about executive measures to improve the guarantee of human rights. This is the first time that we have a discussion between a decision of the Supreme Court of our country and a decision of the International Court. So we don't know very clear now what the Supreme Court in Brazil will think about it. But we think that we need to put them to work together. So, in fact, the Supreme Court of Brazil has the duty to guarantee, to give strength to our Constitution. And the International Court has, of course, the main role of the defense of the American Convention of Human Rights. And both are playing this role. So the case is to understand that the amnesty law in Brazil needs to be compatible with the Constitution of Brazil, and the Supreme Court said it is in its point of view. It's not my point of view, but it's the Supreme Court point of view. And the Inter-American Court of Human Rights said that the amnesty law is non-compatible with the American Convention of Human Rights. So, in my point of view, we had two steps decision. And if the law fails before one of these steps, it's not binding internally also. But, of course, that the criminal case will be, at the end, discussed also before the Supreme Court. And we hope that Supreme Court will recognize that even if the amnesty law was compatible with the Constitution, the simple fact that it's not compatible with the Convention of Human Rights for the continent, it's sufficient, it's enough to change his position against the criminal accountability of perpetrators of human rights.
It is a fact that amnesty was a vehicle which allowed for the transition from the military dictatorship to democracy. In your statements earlier, you were talking about how it's been inbuilt in the public consciousness as such, including the victims and victims' families who are advocating for justice. In your opinion, why is it then important to have criminal accountability for these cases 30 years after the fact?
Oh, I think that is very important because the state does not have the power to guarantee impunity for perpetrators of grave human rights violations. The impunity goes against the meaning of having a state. In the modern age, a state's main purpose is to defend, to guarantee human rights and not to violate them. So in thinking politically and socially, it's very strange that a state can violate the human rights, after that guarantee impunity for itself, and that this could avoid that even in the future the society could discuss and investigate these facts. I mean, it's very easy to an authoritarian state or authoritarian government violate human rights and decree amnesty for himself or his agents. So the point is, why should I, as a Brazilian citizen, in a constitution that has as compromised the human rights, why should I follow this decision that was not a decision made by the people, but by the perpetrators? Even if this amnesty law during a time worked as a way to allow the transition, I think that it's part of the truth, because the transition would come anyway with or without the amnesty law, because the dictatorship was falling down. I think it wasn't the amnesty law that makes possible the transition. In opposite, I think the amnesty law came because of the transition was absolutely necessary for the survival of the dictators. And most important of all these aspects is that we work for non-repetition. So if we accept in a democratic country that government could make grave human rights violation as something that can remain with impunity, we are not having a good example for the future generations. So I think that the international community, since the end of Second World War, has learned the lesson that some cases of grave human rights violation, they are out of control of the government. It's a decision of the people of the world and not of many actors of a government.
Is this the view of majority of Brazilians? This question goes to your opinion as to what is the political atmosphere in which these cases are being conducted. Is there a debate? Are you seeing yourself as working in any circumstances of pressure from the public opinion or certain circles? What is the role of victims and how do judges see these issues?
Well, I think the Brazilian society is aware of this discussion because it has been in public in speech since 2009 at least, and we have now the Truth National Commission working on this subject also. So I think that when the report comes public, we will have another moment to discuss this deeply. And I think that we need to think some aspects of that. Human rights, it's not a majority issue. It's not decided by the majority, because the majority sometimes it's involved in political debates in some aspects. If human rights was something of the majority, I think that women won't have the guarantee they have today, because the majority, political majority, was males, and also the gays issue and so on. So human rights is an issue of minority. And we need to understand this. When we are defending a minority, in fact, we are indirectly defending everybody. Everybody in some aspect of its life, it's a minority. We are not majority all the time. So if the society has not the comprehension that it needs to respect and guarantee minority human rights, we fail as a society. So returning to the point, if it was the case to ask to the population, oh, you want to have criminal responsibility or not, like Uruguay has done, I think it's not the best way to measure the if it's important to the society. I think that we need to work with the standards of human rights, international human rights. To be very aggressive maybe in the answer, but remember that the Nazi Party was majority. So what kind of protection majority can guarantee in this case of persecution against part of the society?
You mentioned the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. This commission is in its mid-course, so to say. There has been a great deal of public debate when the decision was made to establish it. However, it seems to be conducting its mandate a little bit further from the public eye than it was the case when it was instituted. Together with 12 state truth commissions that are also in operations, how does this truth commission, in your opinion, contribute to your efforts to see some sort of criminal accountability for what has taken place?
Oh, the work of the National Truth Commission and the state's truth commissions, I think, is essential to our subject. Brazil is a federation, and during the dictatorship, we had some a strong cooperation between federal powers and state governments to perpetrate human rights violations. And I think that the against strength. So we are doing the opposite way. We are cooperating. There is a cooperation between the national, the federal truth commission and the state truth commission to reveal all these acts of torture and disappearance and arrest, illegal arrestment. So I think that's very interesting. Of course, that will have consequence because maybe the methodology of one state truth commission is different from the methodology of the other state commission. One is focusing more on one aspect and other in other. But this will be maybe the price we need to pay for this kind of work, this kind of cooperation. And mainly because we are in a federation, that we have autonomy. This state truth commission have autonomy before the national. But I think that more important, that it's a feeling in the country or in some parts of the country that we need to understand what happened and we need to create conditions to resist, if necessary, in the future against authoritarian ways of governments or something like that.
Well, what do you concretely expect from the report of the National Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
I think that the Truth Commission in Brazil, it has an opportunity very, very different from other countries, mainly because our Truth Commission is working 30 years after the end of the dictatorship. And remember that we had a dictatorship during 20 years. So we have 50 years from the beginning of dictatorship. More than review aspects of how the dictatorship worked, because this is maybe very clear to the society, it's trying to find out why we had a dictatorship and what we can do to not repeat this experience. So I think it's a kind of prevent action that the recommendation could present. I prefer to say that the Truth Commission recommendation, I think, should focus on non-repetition aspects. What the public government and the civil society must do to avoid authoritarian governments in the future.
I think that is an excellent point to finish this conversation. Prosecutor Marlon Bejsher, thank you very much for being our guest.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.